I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. I'm Mark, your host. That's Ryan at the other end of the mic. How you doing tonight, Ryan?
Oh, we're surviving. That's about as good as it gets.
Right? You didn't melt today in all the rain?
No, my I was able to cover up properly before.
Well, that's good.
Going out doing my witch activities.
Right. Yeah, don't get me started. We have what? We have Wicked coming out in a few months, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. I'm so looking forward to that. Let's talk about a few films. All three of these are out, I believe. One today. Yep. Two came out Friday. One comes out today. And that's the one we're actually now. The first two came out Friday. The last one starts today, if my thing is right. Yeah, whatever. We'll figure it out. Let's talk about the ones we want to talk about first. How about that? Let's talk about a piece of and I recorded a quick review on this, and I'm writing it up, but I wanted to get your thoughts because you hadn't seen it yet. This quasi animated throwback of a comedy called Hundreds of Beavers, which sounds dirty, but it's not. Well, there's a couple risque parts in here, I must admit. Not really that risque, but there's one.
The pole dancing.
Anyway, yeah.
no one's going to understand how that fits in until
they've seen the movie, which hopefully they will. So this is a 19th century Applejack salesman, which if you don't know what Applejacks is, it's an apple based alcohol. So he runs an orchard out in the American West where all these trappers come. And they all buy his booze, and he's an alcoholic. And and after a disaster, he no longer has an orchard. So he's trying to find a way to support himself, so he has to become a trapper. A fur trapper, if you will. So we get this weird animated slash green screen slash slapstick slash everything, and hundreds of beavers, many of which actually are on screen as people in mascot suits of beavers,
or rabbits.
I don't know that we saw a wolf, but yeah, there's at least rabbits as well. Look, this movie, if it sounds like I'm having trouble defining it, it's because I'm having trouble defining it. Here's how I can definitively describe it. It's a masterwork. and I say that because it's basically two guys that wrote it. One directed it, one stars in it, and they make this thing that is just, it's so incredible to watch that you can't believe that this, I mean, it looks like it should have cost a lot of money, or it looks like it costs no money, but it certainly took some money, and big studios would spend a lot of money to make it look this cheap. I'm not wrong. Scott recommended this to us. Scott is one of our fellow critics, slightly older than me, so way older than Ryan. I would not have called that. from him?
He does have a soft place for bizarre animated stuff, and obviously this mostly qualifies as bizarre animated stuff. And when I say bizarre, I don't mean like alien tentacle stuff. I just mean it's some kind of out there.
Yeah, it non-traditional.
Traditional, but you know, has but at the same time has something classic about it, and mm-hmm. you know, this kind of felt like at some point some Canadian horseman was going to go and come in and tie someone up to a train tracks, or I don't, you know. Anyway, it's just it's a bizarre thing that a couple guys you know ended up making, kind of roped in probably a couple of their friends, said, hey, look, we're gonna.
Yeah, we just need you for a few scenes, and then, you know, here, you guys put these costumes on.
Yeah, put these on. Don't ask. No, it's you know, and it's got its very own aesthetic.
Yes.
Particularly as it works in the costumed characters, and which are by no means the strangest part of this.
No.
This film. I thought it was an interesting film. I don't think I liked it nearly as much as you and Scott did. I would definitely recommend it.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, and, but yeah, I thought it was fun and absurd, and I mean, pretty, you know, it's, again, if this was made by a guy in his the basement, which it kind of, I think it was.
Yeah.
You've got to just kind of tip your hat to him and be like, okay, you did stuff in this that I don't even, you know, that I don't even know exactly how you pulled it off. But you,
no, nope.
I think a lot of the stuff they pulled off just by, you know, purely just saying, well, let's just do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's look, this is a legitimate film accomplishment. It's a legitimate film in that it's an hour and change long. I mean, oh no, it's 108 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't like tweak this thing over the feature length line.
No.
This is a legit film. It feels, I mean, it's weird to say that this feels like an art house film.
Absolutely.
But I mean, because of the silliness, I mean, art house kind of carries this sure. weird gravitas kind of meaning, but,
sure.
but this, I think, fits just in the sensibilities that they had in creating it, not necessarily in what it is.
Sure.
And I mean, this would be a great midnight movie, you know, in a smaller theater, you know, with sure. 50 people.
Well, and it's presented as more or less a silent film.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, I mean, there is some sound, but even, you know,
there's utterances.
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah.
And when I think there's some title cards,
yes,
like that. And I, you know, he deals with the guy that runs the store that he's trying to, you know, because everything's in trade.
He's bartering.
He's bartering. So it's like playing a video game. It's almost like a video game walkthrough where you go up and go, oh, what can I afford off of the menu?
And the soundtrack in those sequences is very video game inspired as well.
Yes.
So you have a lot of different sources that they're kind of taking inspiration from, be it, you know, the old silent films and then, you know, audio. Yeah, it's very video gamey, but older video games.
Yes. And I think that's why one of our younger colleagues did not appreciate this film. At all.
Yeah.
Well, and I said, I told him to his face. I said, you're too young to understand. I mean, cause he's got the capacity for this kind of humor, but I think this does appeal this feel. I mean, he said, it's like, oh, it's like, this is like when, you know, back in the day, like early dads on YouTube. And I'm like, yes, that's also not an incorrect way to describe some of this movie, not all of it, but some of it, you know, but it's almost got a Python-esque feel in spots. It's definitely got a Three Stooges feel in spots. You're right. I think there were parts where they're just like, well, how do we get from here to there? And they're like, well, we could do this. And they didn't ever just go, is there another way? It's like, it's like whoever came up first, you know, first idea out is what they went with to bridge. And so so it works. It just works. It's the craziest. It shouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, but it does. So these two guys, Mike Cheslick and Ryland Brixen Cole Tews. That's a name and a half. And that is four names. Ryland Brixen Cole Tews wrote it. Cheslick directed it. Ryland Brixen Cole Tews stars as Jean Kayak, our former, our alcoholic former Applejack salesman. Turned trapper, and
bad
trapper. But he gets better. I love, and his Ruby. You know, he hangs out with a grizzled old trapper and learns how things kind of work to trap and run a cycle and do all these things. So it sounds really boring, but it's not. But then it becomes this weird game of mousetrap. As he goes and he's solving all of these problems that he's imposing on himself, and he solves them in ever more elaborate ways to make things work and to get what he needs to get. And again, it's just hilarious. And once it finds its way in, once you click into that humor, it's almost nonstop because you start guessing. I started trying to guess how he was going to, because you would see the problem and you would have like 4 seconds before he starts fixing it. And I would try to figure it out in those 4 seconds. Like I said, once it was in, I was like, I see what it is. And it's just weird. It nearly defies categorization. But it's entertaining as all get out.
And it's a love story.
And it's a love story. That is also true. There's a love story here.
I mean, there's a lot of, it's silly, but there is some skill at play. It's not, it does have the kind of off the cuff sort of thing. The first idea goes, but it is quite evident that they've spent a lot of time, figuring things out. 'Cause there's certain things that you kind of look at it and go, I wonder how they did that exactly, because they clearly have no real budget to
go.
So a lot of stuff just had to be trial and error. Okay, so how do we do this? Well, let's try this. Does that work? No, that doesn't work. Let's try this. Okay, does that? Okay, that works. Let's a lot of trial and error. And I think it looks like it's supposed to look, which is kind of amateurish, but I think but it still would have been hard to make, if that makes sense. It looks like it was kind of easy, but in actuality, that it was not easy to do the stuff that they did.
No, absolutely not. It's great. And I hope people watch it right now. It's streaming on Apple TV and Amazon Prime Video. Yeah. So if you have either of those, I recommend it. I think it's a masterwork in, in the way a lot of movies are masterworks in what they're doing. And again, people are like, oh, Citizen Kane is a masterpiece. Yes, it is for what it is. This is not the same kind of masterwork. This is perfect for what it is, but it nails. I didn't have anything to complain about at all, because you can't complain about the animation, because that's what it's supposed to look like. You can't complain about the fact that it's black and white, because they wanted it black and white. You can't complain about, the silent movie aspect, because that's the way they wanted it.
I mean, I think you disagree or not like it, but you can't really, there's very little technically that you could, that it was all very much a controlled experiment.
Yeah.
And that's quite evident that they made, again, this is something I say from time to time, but they made the film they wanted to make. And if you like it, great. If you don't, great. And that's fine. But that was the movie they wanted to make. And you have to applaud them for making that, you know, because at a certain point, I mean, they knew what their abilities were. And so it just became, okay, we know what our abilities are. What can we dream of?
Yeah.
And then they did it. So.
Yeah. So that's
how that. They figured out some of this stuff. I don't know, but you know, they did it.
Yeah, but they did it. So yeah, so check that out. Hundreds of Beavers. Again, sounds dirty, but it's not. So let's switch gears slightly. So let's from the absurd comedy to the horror comedy. This is an Australian production set in Brooklyn, New York, during the worst snowstorm of the year after a meteor storm, called Sting. This is the one with the spider. I liked this one as well. I love a good mix of horror and comedy, as evidenced by my love of Evil Dead, all things Evil Dead. But a good horror, it's a hard balance, but two, now there's a spider involved, and spider immediately makes the creep factor high. And this spider makes the creep factor super high.
Sure.
So, but yeah, so it's about this girl finds a spider, puts it in a jar, starts feeding it, and learns that it's not a normal spider. And yeah, so that's when the horror starts.
Yeah, I think that, you know, she's kind of, she's a quirky, tween. I don't think she's quite a teen yet. I think
no, she's a 12-year-old.
There you go. And she's kind of a strange sensibilities. She is living with her mother and
stepfather.
Stepfather moonlights as a comic book illustrator.
Yep.
And so she has been kind of giving him some ideas on his latest project. And the acceptance and rejection of certain ideas is a big element in this. In the film. Horror films, for whatever reason, well, I know the reason, but the horror films always love having a child or a young person as their protagonist or their endpoint, because it's something that we can relate to.
Yep.
In the sense that, oh yeah, when I was 12 years old, I had an overactive imagination, and this probably would have freaked me out and whatnot, but it's a sense of needing companionship, it's more than that too, but again, that's kind of where her affection for this spider creature, starts. And it's one of those things where my pet could never do anything wrong.
Yeah. Right.
As in my child was never capable of that. It's got a kind of a throwback 80s feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least that sort of, like you said, it's kind of comedic. It's comedic, but it's also definitely a horror movie.
Yes.
More than it is a comedy.
It is a horror comedy, not a comedy horror. You said the obvious comparison is to Arachnophobia.
Sure, but Arachnophobia was not R-rated, and this is definitely more. I mean, Arachnophobia. This is even more horror.
I think,
classic horror than that was. That's kind of a paranoid thriller sort of element to it.
There's some horrific scenes in here.
Yes. Oh gosh. Yes.
They don't shy. I mean, they have an alien spider. I'll just say it. It's an alien spider, and they. Everything you think this alien spider can do happens, and they don't shy away from any of it.
No, and it's there's some truly, I don't know. I think it would probably disturb some people, but there are some definite moments where you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Okay, this is, it's kind of this is for real.
Yeah. They're not messing around. I wrote the review on this and I said, Australian horror is different than Western horror, American horror.
Sure.
But this almost doesn't matter. I mean, it's still not quite what you would get out of an American production, but it's not.
I mean, it feels like someone who the America that they present is kind of the movie America,
right,
rather than America or, Brooklyn or, whatever real. It's kind of a pseudo Twilight Zone America that is familiar but isn't exactly right, if that makes sense.
Yep. But yeah, so if you watch an Australian horror set in Australia, that is a completely different film. This is like this is an Australian version of an American horror. So it's not quite all American, but it's not quite pure Australian, which again, it's a lovely balance. For me, the balance is important between horror and comedy. So the first Evil Dead is a horror comedy or a horror with comedic elements. Evil Dead 2 is a horror comedy. And then, of course, Army of Darkness is a comedy with horror elements.
And fantasy. And
yeah.
It's like, pick your genre.
Yeah. So the balance of horror and comedy obviously changes the feel of the film. And it can change how if a film is too far in one direction, you can see if they'd have just dialed it back a little bit on one or the other, that there's a better movie. I think this one is exactly the right balance. There's even a little Die Hard in here, which I thought was great.
Sure.
And it's a family drama.
It involves a family, yes.
And a lot of practical effects, as it turns out, which is always good in a horror movie. Practical effects are always great.
Sure. But these are done really well
too. Yes. Good practical effects.
Maybe.
Are always a good thing in a horror movie.
Sometimes they're not so good and then that's not so good.
Because what's scarier than a big CGI spider? Big practical spider.
There's some
they use some CGI.
Well, yeah, but I mean, but
not for the important bits.
There's some blood in this one.
Oh yeah, there is. There's definitely some blood in this. But I love this. I actually went to I had seen the email for this to request a screener of it. So I was actually at the theater. I went and I saw Immaculate. And I was between films. I saw Immaculate and I was waiting for AMC's mystery movie on Monday. And so I was waiting. I did, obviously it's a mystery movie. I don't know what's coming. And I was checking my email and I was like, oh yeah, I need to request this one. And then I went into the theater and it was Sting. So I actually didn't see this at home in my living room. I saw this in a theater full of people and the reactions were exactly what you want from the audience. Everyone had a good time, whether they were scared or laughing or whatever. I didn't hear any complaints as the crowd left the theater, and that theater was probably at 70%.
No, I don't know that it's by any stretch of the imagination like groundbreaking and a masterpiece, but what it is it's pretty good at what it does.
Yes.
If you like horror films, not necessarily satanic or controversial, just kind of more of the 80s, not even slasher though, like just sort of a more of a science fiction horror, I suppose, I guess, in a sense.
It's
still predominantly a horror movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's, if you replace the spider with the blob and it's the blob, it's that kind of construction, I guess.
Yeah.
Except this spider is smart and the blob is just big. I was pleasantly surprised. I said, as I was like, oh my God, I requested this. And like 3 minutes in, everyone's laughing at because the opening's pretty humorous and everyone's laughing. And I'm like, okay, there's a good crowd. And then you heard the squeals and you could hear people covering their eyes and then you would hear them laughing. And I was just like, man, they,
It starts in a way that you don't think it's going to quite get as extreme as it does.
Right.
But it goes there. It's still fairly quickly because the opening scene is kind of sets the tone, obviously. And then it's one of those films that, you know, gives you the 4 weeks earlier or 4 days earlier.
Right.
Whatever it was. You know, so like, okay, well, we know where this is going, but how did we get there?
How exactly did we get there? It's like, it's good stuff. The
characters are all kind of extreme. Like these aren't the sort of people that actually exist.
No,
but they exist in this sort of movie, and they feel completely at home in this sort of movie. Everyone's kind of, you know, I don't even know. They're not going for realism. They're kind of doing tropes.
Yeah. But it doesn't come out in a bad way.
No.
Because, and there's nothing wrong with tropes.
No, it works in the world that they've created.
Yes.
It's just, you would not put any of these characters into a serious movie.
No.
You can't. In a more serious movie, these characters don't make any sense. But in this movie, very early on, it sets the tone, and you know, these somewhat over the top performances, not extremely over the top, but definitely, I wouldn't call it natural. This is not a film that you go, ooh, that's just a slice of life.
Yep.
But it never was intended to be. I enjoyed this one. I don't know that it's going to be like, on my top 10 lists of horror movies ever made.
No.
But it is incredibly enjoyable. It's well produced. It's well shot.
And the girl, Alila Brown.
Yeah.
I hope I pronounced her name correctly. She plays Charlotte, our heroine. She's really good. She sells the disaffected tween, or, you know, preteen,
but there's a certain humanity to her. She's not just that thing.
No, she's a kid dealing with real problems and a giant spider.
And you kind of, you feel for her,
yeah,
which is what you need to, and because there's a certain element of this story where you have to kind of forgive her. Or at least say, I know why you did what you did.
Yeah, you get it.
Yeah. So. Like, there's no part of this where you're like, well, that doesn't make sense. Why would she do that? It's all pretty much, you know, that feels about right.
Yeah.
And sometimes things get out of hand. We have the best intentions.
Yep.
We really do.
She thought she was being helpful and nice and... But yeah, no, not so much. No good deed, if you will.
And you know, now the apartment building has some vacancies.
Yes, quite a few vacancies. This one was this clocks in at a svelte 91 minutes. Rated R, doesn't overstay its welcome. Again, that's an issue some horror films have, is that they become enamored of themselves and they stick around too long. So, Wellgo USA, who is increasingly making me happy.
They do primarily, they do release a lot of Korean and, Asian cinema.
Yeah.
They've been branching into the horror and, lots of the genre stuff. And I can absolutely see why they bought this.
Yeah.
I would watch it. I would like to do something with that as well.
Yep. It's solid.
Word of mouth will get this one. Yeah. Hopefully word of mouth will get this one going.
And, yep. Again, it's on Apple TV and Amazon Prime. So that is Sting. All right. Let's talk about the last one. Hey everyone, welcome back to season 9 of the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. If you like what you're seeing and hearing, please feel free to like us, share us, follow us wherever you're listening to us, actually. If you're on YouTube, click subscribe. That would be great. Go to the website at vsmoviepodcast.com, and that will give you links to all of our socials. It'll give you write-ups of stuff that's not audio, but you'll get pretty much everything there. So if you like what you're seeing and hearing, make sure you share it with everyone else. Now let's get back to the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
This one opens this Friday, the 19th. A divisive film from Sundance, one I skipped there to see something else. Yeah. To see Hitman, I believe. I may have skipped that. No, I skipped Secret Society of Magical Negroes for Hitman. I skipped this for something else, and I was glad I did. But it popped around, so I had to watch it so I could at least comment intelligently. Now, I feel bad having done that because I don't have anything intelligent to say about this film because this film is just a time suck of colossal proportion.
What's interesting is, I got to talk to some of the Sundance brass prior to the festival, and this was one that they were all kind of big on.
This is Sasquatch Sunset.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, which is essentially Sasquatch in the forest doing Sasquatch stuff.
Yep, a little clan of four.
Yeah. I guess there's part of me that can see why some people would like this, but there's also part of me that perfectly open and willing to say that I really just didn't ever enjoy much of any of it.
This movie means nothing. I could put on my academic hat and I could impose something on this movie, but I don't care enough to do that. And I believe that I would just be doing that to try to sound smart. And I hate when people do that.
I think there are certain people who could say, look, this is what it is. This is why I like it. And then we might probably responsibly, well, that's exactly what it is. And that's why I don't like it. This is just kind of a weird, I can't believe they made this movie. But it's not that exactly, because it doesn't surprise me that this movie got made. It maybe surprises me that you have like Jesse Eisenberg and some of the talent involved, quote unquote talent. Actually, that's me. The whole thing is kind of like how crazy is it that we made this movie about kind of nothing? A day in the life of Sasquatch.
A year in the Sasquatch Seinfeld. But no, it's so yeah, the two big names, obviously Jesse Eisenberg, but Riley Keough, whom I enjoyed immensely from a film from, I believe, Sundance a few years back called The Lodge.
Yeah.
That's a great horror movie, by the way, if you haven't watched that one. Yeah, this one, I could sit here and try to rationalize things, but I don't think the movie deserves that level of effort from me.
I do think it is worth noting that there are a lot of people who are very educated and smart film people who for reasons that I have yet to understand, did really enjoy this. And I'm still a little befuddled by that because there was almost no point at this film that I felt like, oh, okay.
Right.
I see what
you're talking about. At no point was I digging this.
No.
And we just talked about hundreds of beavers and Sting. At some point, I should have been digging this.
In theory, but I think that's maybe why we are reacting to it a little more negatively is because at no point. Yeah. So it's essentially you're in the woods with the Sasquatch and there's some interpolitical stuff going on, or family, not political, right. Is probably the wrong way, but there's some family issues and you know, it's, but what is it really about? I don't know.
I don't know either. I can't believe that this is a Bleecker Street film.
Yeah. Well, and they're going to go all in on it too. Just so.
So yeah. When the awards season rolls around, best makeup. Sure. I'll allow it. I'll allow that nomination. I'll allow that push. But
I don't know though. It's one of those films that the makeup is.
But even then I could argue that the makeup doesn't look that good. But they did. But this is literally nothing but Sasquatch for 90 minutes. So you have to kind of give them props. But then if you look at it a little harder, you're like, do I though? This is not like Planet of the Apes makeup innovation.
Yeah, this is. I don't really think I do want to give you credit for what you've done. All right, fine. You might be able to talk me into doing it.
Yeah, right. I'll allow you to push for that, but I won't necessarily vote for that.
But yeah, I would be interested to hear, because when you're going into Sundance, you just say, well, what film should I, do I need to see it? Oh, well, I need to see this, and you don't really ask why. So I think maybe I will go back out and read some reviews and try to find the ones that are positive,
right,
and see what it was that they saw in this film that made it something that they actually liked, rather than something that they went, I just can't believe that someone spent a lot of money to make this, which is how I feel.
Yeah, it's I don't this. Yeah, I yeah, so we agree on all three films tonight.
I think so, yeah.
That's awesome. We both enjoyed Hundreds of Beavers. We both enjoyed Sting. And neither one of us could give a rat's butt about Sasquatch Sunset.
No. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. So, sorry, all you Eisenberg fans.
Well, I like Eisenberg mostly, but
not here. Not this one. Not here. This week, we are going to be watching two movies that come out this week. So we will probably hopefully talk about them before they come out. But I'll tell you that they are Abigail and the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. I actually have one in my email box I need to watch that also comes out this Friday. So, oh God, is that movie still not out? Challengers is still not out. It's not out till next week. So I don't have to talk about that until next week. Thank God for small favors. This week, Abigail and the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, though, two, I believe, distinctly different films as well. One is Guy Ritchie and a spy movie. So in my head, it's the unofficial sequel to The Man from U.N.C.L.E. That's what I expect to see and enjoy on the level thereof, because I actually enjoyed The Man from U.N.C.L.E. And Abigail, I have loved the look of since I saw the first thing for it. I cannot wait to see how incredibly, because that is going to be a horror comedy, much like Sting was. I believe there's going to be more horror than it's going to err to the side of horror. I think there's going to be a lot more comedy than there was in Sting. It's just a guess. But we'll find that out this week. So hopefully we will be talking about those. If not, obviously we will both have to write reviews for that. And they will be linked on the website. Ryan, anything else you want to talk about tonight? You've been watching you watch any TV shows? You watch that Fallout show?
Not yet. I need to, though.
I watched the first two or three episodes. I never played the games.
I played the
game. So, well, you'll be a different take than mine. A show, that's what I enjoyed. I watched the first three episodes of Sugar on Apple TV with Colin Farrell. Also not terrible. So there's some stuff on television out there as well, people. We'll see how that goes. And we'll talk about some of that. But yeah, so that is it for this week. Again, like I said, next time, hopefully it'll be Abigail and Ungentlemanly Warfare. But until we do that, don't forget to like us, follow us on social media. You know how that works. Go to the website, vsmoviepodcast.com. That's where you'll find everything. And until next time, be good, stay safe, go see a good movie. I'm Mark. That's Ryan. Bye, Ryan. And we will talk to you all later.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.